Good morning. Welcome everybody to our November 17, 2015 County Council meeting. First thing is going to be approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members. A few changes to today's agenda. We can strike Joe Wright, Acting County Engineer, Item 1, Waters Run Cash Performance Bonds. And we can also strike Executive Session, Job Applicants, Qualifications and Personnel, as well as possible action on Executive Session items.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
Yes.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second. Mr. Cole, any questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Starlet.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We had minutes of November 10th. Any questions, corrections, concerns? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondent, Mr. Moore.
I have none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council?
No. Other than your usual planning and zoning correspondence, no.
Okay. Public comments, Mr. Guy.
None, sir.
None?
None.
Okay.
Is this a holiday reprieve? What is this? For the holidays?
That's good. That's good.
Thank you, Mr. Kramer.
Okay. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first item today is a presentation by Mrs. Susan Kent, representing Sussex County Code Purple. We're thrilled to be joined by these folks who are going to come forward and give us an update and talk about all the good work they're doing. Thanks for being here.
And thanks for having us. My name is Susan Kent. I am the Executive Director of Love, Inc. of Mid Delmarva. And what Love, Inc. Is a network of churches in Sussex County. And we have a clearinghouse where we answer the call of people in Sussex County who are needy, who have needs. And we plug them into community resources, and we also plug them into the church ministries. Several years ago, we saw a spike in the homeless situation, and we weren't able to find resources for those in Sussex County that were homeless. And we contacted all the resources, and we found that there was no shelter available, and folks were outside in the very cold. We learned about what is called Code Purple, and last winter, a group of people who have been doing grassroots Code Purple came together as a grassroots initiative and started a coalition. That coalition is called the Sussex County Homeless Coalition. We meet once a month, and that meeting is actually going to be this Thursday at 10 a.m. at Georgetown Presbyterian. And we work together as a coalition to solve the homeless situation. But what we know is we have to supply shelter when the weather dips down below 32 degrees to keep folks alive. And that's what Code Purple is. Churches have opened their sanctuaries, not as a shelter, but as a temporary stay for folks to give them another chance for the next day. And we have all over the county. These are some of the lists. If you could help me just push through some of the lists. Oh, you got the clicker. Okay. We have Code Purple shelters all over the county now, and we're very excited and happy to have that because we did not have that resource before. At Stein Highway Church of God, we have a hub, and folks, when the weather dips down below 32 degrees, come in, and then we feed them. The community helps feed them, and we get them to the right shelter. We also, in Georgetown, have a small Code Purple available. Gateway Fellowship has for women and children. Nazarene is in Laurel, new this year. We're very excited for men. And on the eastern side, we are thankful that Emmanuel Shelter oversees Code Purples through Faith UMC, also Conley's United Methodist. And under the Christian Community of Churches, they have tasked Soul Ministry to run also a Code Purple shelter. And those are more not based on the weather, just cold weather. So we're very thankful that folks have come together, and again, a grassroots volunteer initiative. We want to solve issues of homelessness, but we also, at this point, know that we need to help keep them alive so they live another day, so they might be able to make, you know, have a better a life. I'd like to introduce at this time two of the leaders of Code Purple, Sussex County. Nikki Gonzalez is the director, and co-director Vicki Prettyman. And I think they do the work. They're there at night. They're doing intake. They set up guidelines. They have the Code Purple phone, so when someone calls, there's a hotline. People can call. Everyone should know it by now. It's 519-0024. And these ladies are volunteers, and they work 24/7, and we're so thankful for them. I'd like to introduce them now.
Hi, I'm Nikki Gonzalez.
Hi, Vicki Prettyman. Thank you.
And at this point, I feel like there might be some questions or comments, and we'd like to answer any questions or comments.
Do we have any questions from council?
I just would like to say thank you, you volunteers. Thank you very, very much for your everything you're doing. Very important.
Mr. Arlett.
I do. And first off, and thank you, all three of you, for what you're doing. And, you know, all of us, I think, are one decision away from being homeless in many ways, truly. And bad decision, perhaps. And so I think that we're grateful for what you guys are doing. But share some numbers. Share some statistics, if you have them, as far as how many people do we have homeless. We've talked about veterans, I know, here at the council, but in general, mm-hmm. how many men, how many women, how many children? I mean, do you have any numbers that you can share?
We do, and our numbers last year were based on averages of what each Code Purple was reporting, and we were very concerned when we saw that our average was running about 90 in Sussex County. And we also work very closely and watch what's happening in Kent County as well. They have a website that we follow, and they follow us, and we work together. They posted one night that they had the most they'd ever had that night, and it was at 56. So we were very concerned about the fact that Sussex County was averaging a 90, literally homeless, attending the Code Purples in Sussex County last year during the very cold nights.
Yeah, 90 too many.
90 too many.
That's for sure. And we, to my knowledge, we have two full-time shelters. Is that correct? I mean, that are
Crisis and CASA. Yes.
Right.
We do not include those numbers in our numbers.
Mm-mm. So it's 90 plus the others.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And they're about 15 beds each, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I guess that they actually are involved in a temporary shelter, and here you're actually helping.
Yeah,
those are literally homeless.
Yeah, they're 30-day shelters, and then we are just coming off the streets every night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And what are you hearing? I mean, as you guys are there with people, what why are most people homeless? What solutions or ideas that you could have to
honestly
prevent that?
Mental illness and addiction are top of the list. I find that families have a little more resources to help them out because they're trying to get the kids in, but these people that come through Code Purple are, you know, released to us from hospitals, released to us from detoxes, and released to us from jail. Like, we are an appropriate place to be released. I have difficulty with that. However, it is what it is, and we are glad to be open. We need more resources in Sussex County. Mm-hmm. And we need a little overhaul of the system of how people get released back into homelessness. And it's a vicious cycle. You see them come from detox over and over again. You see them come out of Dover Behavioral. You see them come out of Kirkwood, right straight to a shelter where there are active users, and there's no way to separate them.
Hmm. Question, council?
Great, thank you.
Well, thank you very much for all you do. I know last year you came to council and we talked about that issue and helped you a little bit. I'm going to help you again this year.
Oh, good. Thank you.
We happen to have a check in our hand. And Mr. Laws, do you have anything before we take a check down there? And
I was hoping that you all would join them for
a
photo op.
I'd like all the council to come down here for the picture. Thank you. please.
Oh, I appreciate
it. No problem.
How are you?
Absolutely a pleasure.
This is yours.
Thank you.
Thank you for all you're doing. Thank you, honey.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Can we get probably close enough in here? I think where are you? Just whatever.
No, get in here. Get in here. I'm back in.
I can anywhere.
Well, you'll get mixed up there. You'll come up here.
Hollywood here.
Who's first?
Who's on second?
Hold it, girls.
Hold it.
I don't want to be.
Oh, okay.
Look happy.
It works.
I think they spent some money.
It's on the way.
Probably the best game in the house.
All right, now here.
There you go. Just out you.
Torture.
Again, ladies, thank you very much for all you're doing. Thank you. Appreciate that.
And Brandy wanted to make sure we mention, if you'll look at the weather, we are looking at below 32 degrees, so we will be opening up this weekend.
Probably Monday.
Yeah.
Thank you for all you're doing.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, Ms. Lawson.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here today, and thank you for all the work that you do. Next, we are joined by representatives from Slam Dunk to the Beach. Dr. Matthew Robinson is with us today, chairman of the Delaware Sports Commission, and we're going to have a presentation and an update on all the good work that they're doing. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for being here.
Good morning.
Good morning. It is great to see everybody up here getting on these high tech stuff.
On the Todd machines.
I'm telling you.
And Rob's just glad to see you because you haven't shaved either. So he didn't want to be the only guy in the room.
That's right. No Shave November. Exactly.
I'm with you on that, yeah.
There you go.
Right there. Okay, great. Well, first of all, thank you for taking the time to allow us on the agenda for today. Last year, we were here to talk about what we had hoped to do. And this year, we're here to talk a little bit about what we did with last year's tournament, and then also talk a little bit about the future of the tournament. In terms of the event, I would like to think that it was a very successful event on a number of different levels. I think that the big one is I think that it was a great commercial for Sussex County. I think we had an opportunity to show off the county, the beach communities, local businesses benefited, and again, we brought a lot of unique visitors, and I'll share some numbers with you very shortly, unique visitors to the area. But I also think we delivered as far as the event itself in terms of the quality of the event, in the management of the event, as well as the level of competition that I think people were hoping for as far as the return of the event. We'd like to think, too, that we've put the past in the past, and as it's been interesting this year, not having to worry about as many questions about the past history of the event, and now strictly talking about the future. And so like I said, we'll talk a little bit about what we achieved last year, but also talk about what the plans are for this coming year. I want to recognize a few individuals and a few entities as far as that contributed to the success of the event. We had Position Sports and Mark Steigerwald, who's with Position Sports, managed the event for us. And I really think that in terms of the quality of the teams that were able to be picked, as well as the professionalism of the event, and hearing feedback from the teams, as well as the college coaches that were there in attendance watching the event, they were extremely impressed. Our tourism partners, we couldn't have done it without them, the Delaware Tourism Office, and specifically Southern Delaware Tourism, and Scott Thomas, incredible help with the event and making contacts for us in the area. And then Dover Motorsports and Event Allies for helping us to generate sponsorship dollars that are very important for the event. And we had a number of partners across Sussex County that were supportive of the event, and we'd like to think that they benefited from the event, from Grotto Pizza, the Pepsi, ATI Physical Therapy, 94.7 WDSD, WRDE, TV Delmarva, our hotel partners, Atlantic Sands and Hyatt Place and the Sleep Inn, as well as a number of new ones that are going to be coming on board for this year as far as Highway 1, Starboard and Bethany Blues, Shell Brothers, Big Fish, Group, the Community Bank, Sodell Concepts, and Carl Friedman Foundation. And again, we can't thank you enough as far as the County Council for your financial support for the event. You know, it's really interesting with the environment that the event that we create is that when you talk about a traditional sporting event, one of your biggest revenue streams is usually the registrations. And in order to attract the top-level teams, we have to, number one, not accept registration from them, but then also, number two, pick up some of their expenses. So the support that we've gotten from the state as well as the County Council, and then also talking about the sponsorship dollars and then the ticket revenues really is what's key to us being able to have the funds to run the event. So let's talk a little bit about the event itself as far as the recap. That again, we had 16 teams from seven different states, and we had Washington, D.C., Mid-Atlantic was well represented, but we also had a team from Kansas. And one of the great moments was standing on the boardwalk with the coach from Kansas and him just saying, gee, I hope you don't take this for granted, you know, looking out over the ocean. So that was kind of a neat thing because he and his kids don't see that on a regular basis. But the other thing with that, we had four teams that were ranked. So again, we achieved the goal of having a high-profile, high-quality event. 17 of our 18 games were televised live. All 18 games were webcast. And then we had one matchup that was seen nationally on ESPN3. And we had 10,000 fans in attendance over the 3 days. So in terms of achieving some of the goals we had set, we feel we achieved a lot of those in terms of creating profile. And again, that's where when I made the comment about a commercial, I think having that media and going into the markets where we drew the teams from, like I said, I think it was a great commercial for Sussex County. Some of the media highlights, again, we had the 200 commercial broadcast as far as WRDE and its sister stations, 200 commercials during the time. Again, the broadcast was on ESPN3 available to over 95 million individuals and homes. And again, we had the 17 games that were streamlined. So, and again, we had great partnerships in terms of the iHeartMedia as well as the Fox Sports networks that were able to get the games up for us. In the modern age, we also benefited from social media. We had an active, as far as Twitter was concerned, Facebook page, and so forth. We also benefited from some of the players, the high-profile players that were in the event that had their own Twitter accounts. So we also got a lot of traffic in terms of them tweeting about their participation in the event. So not only with the traditional media, as far as TV was concerned, we got a lot of great traffic and a lot of positive comments made out there in the social media. And then also as far as some as far as the other media, as far as news stories that were generated about the event, again, we benefited here, just some examples. And talking in terms of within the state, I think that we created a favorable impression about the event, that we got almost all positive reviews in terms of the quality event and it being back. And even locally, the Cape Gazette gave us a positive review in terms of the quality of the event. Now, along with that, the other thing that we were looking for, and when we talk about the creation of the Delaware Sports Commission, the Delaware Sports Commission was created with the purpose of generating economic impact through sport. Being involved with the research center at the University of Delaware, the Center for Applied Business and Economic Research, we did conduct a traditional economic impact study, and we estimated a $1 million impact. But I think the other thing is we asked some questions about people's impressions as far as their experiences there. And again, I think people left with you can see the majority of people leaving with number one, a favorable impression of Sussex County and the beach area, a large majority that were interested in returning, and then a good number of people that were recommending the area as far as friends were concerned. One feedback I heard was actually the basketball coach at Villanova, a gentleman by the name of Jay Wright, was talking to him, and he had said he hadn't been down in a while, and he was amazed how easy, because of Route 1, it was to get down. And again, just was impressed. The other thing we heard was incredible comments made about the Cape Henlopen facility, and then, like you said, the accessibility to the shopping and everything. So I think people who came really enjoyed themselves, and I thought it was interesting the number of teams from last year that inquired about returning. We have several teams that are returning, but we got inquiries from a number of them about returning, and I think it was a combination of the teams as well as their fans, I think, having a great experience in Sussex County. Some game highlights, you know, again, talking about the high-profile players. If you watch Kentucky this year, a young man by the name of Isaiah Briscoe was their starting point guard, and Isaiah played in the tournament last year. And again, it was one of our highlights and was involved with our high-profile game on ESPN3, the, you know, double overtime, buzzer beater, you know, real exciting game. And also Sheck Diallo, who's with the University of Kansas right now. So, you know, it's interesting when we select teams and working with position sport, you know we want to have quality teams, but I think that the real draw, if you want to refer back to the past, was being able to say that you saw so-and-so win, whether it be LeBron, Durant, Kevin Durant. And I think with the teams we had last year, we have a couple of those players you're going to be seeing this year in college and maybe beyond. But again, that was part of our strategy in selecting teams for this coming year, was identifying good teams but also some star players within there. So some of the things we learned as we, you know, again, sat down and evaluated the first experience, the name recognition, the slam dunk tournament had a great, great name recognition. I think we were able to capitalize on that. We were able to use the past history when we marketed the event. And again, we own the copyright to the name and everything like that in moving forward. I think we're going to try to do a lot more this year in driving our ticket sales. We had 10,000, but I think we can do better. We're doing more with the schools and trying to get the schools to come and have fans come, but also we're doing a lot of outreach in the grassroots in the younger markets with the youth leagues and trying to get teams to come down. One thing, because of that, we're going to try to have the kids zone area that the kids have some stuff to do in between games, maybe even during games. And we're going to add an entertainment factor and having a DJ that's going to be having music during the breaks and trying to get the crowd a little bit more involved. You know, I think, you know, we talked a lot about last year. Our main thing was trying to run a basketball tournament and get that up and running in the first year. And then the goal being the second year is, okay, let's start adding to it and let's try to create a more, more exciting atmosphere. And that was some of the feedback we got from the surveys that we did as well. And then we're going to be doing some more stuff on social media to engage the engage our participants as well as our spectators. And the last thing is we're going to increase the number of teams than we had from last year. We have more teams coming in for just one or two games, so we increase the number of teams that are going to come in. So, for example, we have a couple teams coming this year. They may only play one game, but they're a high-profile team that brings that recognition that we're trying to generate. And there's just a schedule of the games. We made the announcement yesterday in terms of the matchups, and I think we've got some really interesting games that are going to be exciting. The big one on that 27th, the St. Newman Goretti, is a Philadelphia powerhouse, great tradition, going against Paul VI, which has a similar reputation coming out of Virginia. On the second day, you can take a look at Roman Catholic High School. Roman Catholic has three players that are going to be playing at Penn State next year on scholarship. So a high-quality team going against Marist School coming out of D.C. But then also in the evening, we're having Paul VI going against Roselle Catholic. Roselle was in our tournament last year as a high-quality team. And then St. Benedict's Prep, who has an incredible reputation, producing a number of NBA players over the years, going against Westtown School, which has several high-ranked players as far as ESPN ratings are concerned. And then the La Lumiere School from Indiana is kind of our out-of-state school coming from Indiana. Again, some high-quality players on that roster, and they're going to be going against Sanford School, you know, usually one of our stronger teams within state. So there's just a couple schools that jump out and the quality of the games. And again, we made sure that we have our teams from Delaware represented. We try to have teams from each of the three counties involved in the tournament, and we want them to have an opportunity to play each other, but also we want to give them the opportunity to play against some of the national competition. So again, some of the highlights we talked about, we have three teams ranked in the top 25. 9 of the 13 national teams listed. It's a max preps as early contenders, meaning they're some of the best teams in the country. 9 players ranked in the top 50, 3 players ranked in the top 10. So again, the idea of a quality teams and quality players. Again, I got to give all the credit to Position Sport. They do an incredible job. Mark Steigerwald actually is based right here in Sussex County with Position Sport. So he's done an incredible job both years in getting the teams. And again, the idea is we'll have games that'll be not only played live, but they'll be streamed so that we're going to be going into the different markets of the teams that are will be here. So again, going back to the idea, it's a great commercial for Sussex County. And again, our all-star sponsors coming up for this year. And again, we could not do it without that financial support. And like I said, we start off, you know, in a sense behind with other traditional tournaments that we're not taking the registration fees because we want to attract the top teams, and you attract the top teams, you know, you have to, they have to be coming for free and pick up some of their expenses, so we can't do it without that support. So in closing, again, we'd like to think that the tournament's off to a great start. You know, I was so impressed with the support that we received in Sussex County, the volunteers we had out at the games. And again, we're doing more this year and trying to include more Sussex County, you know, people involved in the event. I know Vince is here. There he is. And, you know, getting Vince's now, we have Vince on our exec committee as far as the tournament is concerned. So as much as the state event, we always recognize it's a Sussex County event. And again, we just hope to continue to grow it, and we hope year two is going to be a step further than what we did with year one. So again, thank you for your time, and I'll be happy to take any questions.
Questions from council?
I just think I'm glad it's back.
Great.
Yeah, still there's not any competition, right? It's not like in the old days where they had like the different cups and they played for something. I think there was conversation maybe or something about that, but this year again, it's just.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, when you have the national teams, you know, and again, this is, you know, position, you know, advised us on this, that they're more looking for a matchup. So with the national teams, they're very concerned about their ESPN rankings. So they want to be able to, they want to know that they're coming and playing this team, and that if they win that game, that means they can move up in the rankings.
Okay.
So in order to attract those teams, that's what they're really looking for.
Okay, so you actually put some thought to when this excellent team, they got to play another excellent team.
Exactly. Exactly. And we have requests from coaches that will say, hey, can we play this particular team? Because we're not going to see them. This is our one chance to see them. I think that's even the case. I think with Roman Catholic, they wanted to come and play a particular team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got them, so they're going to get to face them.
You know, well, I know Rob and I went to the ESPN game.
Yeah, that's right. I remember, George, I think you were down on the floor there for that.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah,
George wanted to play.
That's right. I kept wanting to get out there, but Vince Robert, kept holding me back. But I'll just say this as a plug. The off-season events have a significant impact. I'm always a big – I've always argued that we get enough people in the summertime, and I'm starting to criticize any event that, or any, when organizations want to attract more people here in the summertime. We don't need more people in the summertime. But what we need is events like what you've got.
Yeah.
That time period between Christmas and New Year's did. It used to be in the old days. Not with what you do.
Great.
It's tremendous. So anyway, I applaud you for doing that.
Anything
else? No, that's it.
Well,
I'll
make an invitation that the plan is, I think, on Tuesday morning is that to tie in with the theme of Slam Dunk, the chairman, which is me, will be taking a dunk in the ocean. So anyone that's interested in joining.
We'll let Rob do that. We'll delegate that to Rob.
I have done it before.
So we're
more than once.
So I know I've done the one with the Special Olympics. So I said, all right, I'll take the jump. And like I said, maybe we're going to get a couple coaches and some of our board members on board,
If that is a council challenge, I think I will take you up on it.
I'll see you on the
beach. Mike and I being native population, and ever, we never do that. We would never think of jumping in the ocean. But
maybe one of our county attorneys.
Maybe Joan ought to do it.
There you go. I've done it three
Rob,
times.
Rob, I'll see you on the beach then. Okay.
There you go. Just a quick comment / a question. And, sure. And actually, I will tell you, I happened to go there. It was actually even before I took the oath. But my dad actually happened to be at BB that day. Was just entered into the hospital, and I was able to slip down. Councilman Cole encouraged me to come on down and get a little break from the hospital, and I did. And I don't regret it. It was a great experience.
Great.
And I think you guys are doing a great thing. Really do appreciate all that you guys are doing to put more highlight on this county and what we do have to offer here. And I would love, hopefully, I'm sure, because I know I made the comment, I think it was last year, that I'd love to see a quote from our own president versus just the governor. We would like the governor, but I would love to see, this event is in Sussex County, so I'd love to be able to have our county as well highlighted from those that represent this county and the people of this county.
Good.
In your program. That would be my recommendation if it's not been done already. But again, I do want to commend you for all what you guys are doing, so thank you.
Great, thank you. And I think also, just for a token of our appreciation, we'll have something for the members of the council for the event, again, for your support.
Great.
So,
thank you.
On behalf of the council, thank you for taking this project on. I'm sure it was you probably at the beginning, you thought, what am I doing? But in 1 year, I think you made drastic, you and your committee made drastic improvements in what was a bad taste in people's mouths from previous years. And it was a great event. I'm sure it'll be better, bigger this year. and hope it will continue to grow.
That's our hopes.
We want to be part of that and support you. We want people to come to this county and see what we have and who we are. And you're doing a great job presenting that. And along with Mr. Thomas back there, as he walked in, good to see Scott Thomas.
Yep.
They do a great job, but we're here to support you and work with you, and congratulations.
Great. Yeah. Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.
Yep. Appreciate it. We'll see you at the beach.
There you go.
No, you'll see him in the water.
Remind me.
Yeah.
We'll make sure you know.
We'll have a car pick you up.
Yeah, an ambulance pick you up at the end.
Exactly. Well, by the way, Mr. Before we move on, I do have a recommendation for your online, your on-court DJ. Councilman Cole, I think, would be very appropriate.
No.
I really do. I do. I think he would be very entertaining on that court.
He'd be entertaining.
No.
Mr. Lawson.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. First item of business.